We're now 3 weeks into the sermon series, Ten Commandments. In the first week, we gave an overview of the purpose of the Ten Commandments. And last week, we went over the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. And today, we want to look at the second commandment, you shall not make yourself an idol. Now, this one at first glance seems to be the most irrelevant of all the commandments, especially to us living in 21st century America, because idol, I mean, we don't have an idol problem here in America, do we? Africa, India, literally, I've actually seen those idols, you know, this little wooden thing that people bow down in worship to. And they have idols, but we don't have idols here in America, do we? Well, if you grew up in another country, you would know that America has its idols. What are our idols? Money, power, sex. We have a television show that is very appropriately named, American Idol. And what does American Idol sell? Money, power, sex. Right? If you are the winner, then you can possess all these things and thus become an American Idol. And the sad thing is that not only do we have an idol problem, but we also export our idols to other countries. That's what I'm afraid about. I'm fearful for our children, fearful for the repercussion that we are creating, exporting all these idolatry, disease. We're spreading disease. It's almost like Ebola is being spread. We are spreading it everywhere to the entire world, and we are going to be held accountable for that. And I'm afraid that it might be our children that might suffer for the things that we are doing, sometimes unknowingly, out of pure fun. And second commandment prohibits against idols. So today, we're going to go this way. Number one, what is it? Number two, why is it given? And number three, how can we keep it? That's the outline. What is the second commandment really about? Well, let's compare it with the first commandment, because it's kind of confusing. It sounds very much like the first commandment at first glance, right? Because the first commandment says, no other gods. Simply put, no other gods. Second commandment says, no idols. No gods, no other gods, no idols. What's the difference? Right? First commandment seems to be saying, no other gods, as in you shall not have any other gods before me. In other words, I want to be the most important person in your life. I want to be more important than your family. I want to be more important than your money, power, sex, anything else. You shall not put them before me. I should be the only one in your life, the most important. That seems to be pretty clear. That's number one. Then what's number two? Have no idols. You shall not have any idols in your life. Idols? Okay. Aren't idols another word for really gods? Right? Because you worship idols as gods. And so, if you interpret it that way, then it's another way of saying you shall have other gods. You shall not have other gods, right? Which is really the first commandment. So how is the second commandment really different from the first commandment? Is there a difference? Yes, there is a difference. Difference is this. First commandment says, as we have said last week, no other gods. Nothing should be more important than me. Even the good things, you cannot ultimately put them before me. I have to be number one. I have to be the only thing in your life. I have to be the only treasure. Yes, that's clear. Then what is number two? No idols is saying. No idols, in the version that Joanna read, it says, you shall have no carved images, right? Either on the sky, on the ground, or under the sea, you shall not carve any kind of images. What Second Commandment is prohibiting us against is that not only are you to have no other gods, but you are also not to create any kind of representation to signify the God. Okay? So, no gods, no gods before me, nothing. That's number one. Number two says, I don't even want you to make a representation of the God. Okay? Don't make carved images. Don't draw images and don't worship that. I don't even want you to do that. That's a second commandment. But here's a question, and it will become a lot more clear as we go along, if you're still not very clear. But here's a question. Okay, so is this a prohibition, number two, is it a prohibition of making idols that represent other gods? Like Zeus, right? Or Poseidon? Is that what you're saying? We're not to make any kind of graven image or you know, any kind of a carved image for those things? Or are you saying that we cannot make idols or carved image that represents you, the true God, the Jehovah God? Which way are you saying? What are you really saying? In this context, it's actually God is prohibiting us making a representation that represents the true God, not the false gods, because that has already been dealt with in the commandment number one. You shall have no other gods. And so, of course, you're not supposed to make any kind of carved images because you're not supposed to have any other gods. But if you have taken care of that, that you decided that I'm going to be the most important in your life, I don't want you to worship me in such a way that you make a representation of me with some kind of rocks or stones or even a drawing, and then I don't want you to worship that as me. So I don't even want you to make a representation of me. That's what the second commandment is about. Okay, well, how do we know that? Because of the simple word that is added there. It says in the second commandment that you shall have no graven image, or you shall not make a graven image for yourself. It says, for yourself. It puts it there because what God is preceding is that these people who have said, you know what, okay, I know that I'm not supposed to worship any other gods. All the Egyptian gods that we used to worship, no. We are only going to worship Jehovah God who brought us out of Egypt. That we are sure. But can I at least have an idol? Can I at least have something to represent you, God? Because I want to have something that I can see. I'm not worshiping any other god. This is a Jehovah God, but I just want to have something in my house, right? Like a rock or something, you know, with a cross drawn on it. I'm sure, of course, you know, there will be no cross because it's way before Jesus' time, but something to represent the Jehovah God. And I'm not just going to not worship it, but I'm going to worship the true God through that. Is that okay? God is saying, no, absolutely not. That's idolatry. I don't want you to make any kind of representation of me with things. Why is that? What's wrong with that? Well, we're going to go into that. But let me give you another example as to make sure that that is indeed what God is saying, that we are not to make any kind of representation even for the true God. In Exodus 32, there's a passage where Israelites in the desert still, while Moses is up on the mountaintop getting all the Ten Commandments and detailed instructions about the tabernacle and all of that, right, for 40 days. And the Israelites, if you watched, I don't know, Ten Commandments, the movie, or I don't know if it's in the movie Prince of Egypt, do you remember what the Israelites do in the meantime with Aaron, Moses' brother? What do? They make this golden calf, right? They wanted a god to represent them. People couldn't help, but they were getting afraid, obviously, because they're in the desert, and they've been slaves for 400 years, and they just came out, and they feel vulnerable. And so they asked Aaron, right, because Moses is gone. He's up there on the mountaintop. Aaron, can you make us a god, because we are afraid. We need protection. And Aaron says what? Okay, give me all of your golds, gold earrings, you know, gold tooth, or just give me all of your gold, and we're going to fashion it, we're going to put it together, and we're going to make a god. And so he made this god, and it's in the image of a golden calf. Now, most of us think, right, how stupid of the Jewish people, how stupid of the Israelites. They have seen God perform 10 plagues that destroyed 10 of the gods, 10 of the deities that represent, you know, represented by the Egyptian gods. You have seen that, parting the Red Sea. And now, you're ditching your god and you're turning to a golden calf, another god? How stupid can you be? That's what we think. But, you know, Jewish people are not that dumb, if you know, right? They are not dumb now, and they weren't dumb then. They knew that this golden calf wasn't a god. They knew that. No, it only represented a god. Which god? The Jehovah God, their God. The golden calf, in their minds, the reason why they made it is because we want to see a physical representation, something to know that it is with us, that represents the Jehovah God, the God of the Bible that took us out of Egypt. We want you to make a representation of that God in that golden calf. How do we know that? Because Aaron says this the night before he celebrates that making of the golden calf in Exodus 32:5. He says, tomorrow, as he's planning to fashion this golden calf, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. And if you look in your Bible, Lord, L-O-R-D, it's all capitalized. And you know what that means if it's all capitalized in your Bible? That means it's another word for Yahweh. And Yahweh is the name of God of the Bible that appeared before Moses, that is the Jehovah God. Another word for Yahweh is Jehovah, by the way. So Aaron is saying there will be a festival to the Lord, to our God, represented by this golden calf. So let's worship this golden calf. And God says, Moses, they're committing an adultery with me here. Go down there. Idolatry. Destroy that. Destroy that golden calf. I hate it. I hate it. Destroy it. Pulverize it. Right? And make people drink it. And that's literally what Moses did. Because God hated it. So why? What's wrong with that? They're still worshiping the right God, right? They're not worshiping some deity that they met in Egypt. They're worshiping the Jehovah God. They're just doing it through this golden calf. What's wrong with that? Right? Well, there's obviously something very wrong with it if it's the second commandment, right? The second most important. Why is that important? Why did God give us or give them that law? Simply put, because a representation of God, either physical or mental, cannot accurately describe all of God. No created thing, however ornate or however beautiful, cannot accurately describe all of God. At best, it describes a small part of God. But see, God wants to be worshipped for all that he is, in all of his glory and majesty, and not just for a part of him. But why? Three things we're doing if we are to make an idol of God and worship a part of him. First of all, it localizes him. Second, we distort him. And thirdly, it becomes self-worship. Okay. Let's look at the localizing effect of making an idol to represent God. For example, some people come to believe that God's presence is especially strong at certain places, such as a nice-looking church building. Have you ever been to a Catholic church? Right, cathedral, really nice-looking. Nobody is speaking loud. You don't know why. You know, you just go in there and everybody's like kind of hush, hush. Even though there's nobody there, nobody's like speaking out loud. They're just hushing, hushing. For whatever reason, we feel like God's presence is there, right? Because of all the artifacts and the magnificence of the building and all the saints and statues and all of that, right? And the candles burning, it's like, wow, you know? This guy's got to be a place. And so in the movies and so on, I mean, when you really want something done, right? When you really want God to listen to your prayer, where do you go? You go to these places, right? Because God's presence is at those. What are you really doing? You're making an idol of a place, right? Because of a certain location, oh, God's presence must be there because it's a church. God liked church buildings. That's an idolatry, right? We're localizing God to a specific and certain place, and you cannot localize God. You cannot put God into a building. God is too big, right? Created the universe, has a whole world, whole universe in his hand, and you're trying to localize him into a tiny little itty-bitty of a building, like a molehill in his eyesight, in his mind? No. But in our minds, we do that. How do we know that we do that? We say things like this. Ooh, you shouldn't say that at church. Right? How do we teach our children? Don't behave that way. You're at church, don't you know? What are we really saying? Right? We're saying this is a special place, right? Because this is a church. God is here. What are we really implying on the other hand? Right? If we extrapolate it, we're implying that if you're not inside the church, you can live any way you want. You can say whatever you want. You can watch whatever you want. You can drink whatever you want. But once you're inside church, and it's Sunday especially, then you shouldn't say those things, right? You should not act that way inside church. What are we doing? You're localizing God. And God hates it. Because I will be worshipped everywhere, right? I'm not a God that is here, there, you know, wherever. No, I'm a God that envelops everything. And I want to be worshipped everywhere. I want to be worshipped fully as I am. But idolatry also distorts the true God. Not only it localizes, but it also distorts the true God. Having an object or even a mental image to represent God, we will ultimately form a God of our own imagination rather than the God who He is. We will use an object or a mental image that happens to fit our preference. For example, many people have the image of a God that is a grandfather, got long white beard and a long white robe, right? Kind of like a Santa Claus, you know, instead of like wearing the red, you know, he's wearing the white. Right? Giving good gifts to all the little ones with good behaviors. And how do we know that they think like that? They say things like this: oh, I can't believe in a God that sent people to hell. My God is good. He will not send anybody to hell. Says who? Says the God of your imagination, not God of the Bible. God of the Bible talks about hell as much as he talks about heaven. But God of our own imagination, grandfather who will never say no to us, yeah, that's God. And so, of course, he's not going to send anybody to hell. It doesn't matter if you're Hitler. I don't know. It doesn't matter if you lynched black folks back during slave era and then killed all the you know, and raped and what have you. It doesn't matter. In the end, you're all going to go to heaven because God loves us all in the end. He's going to say at the end, oh, it's okay. Whatever you have done, don't worry about it. You just all make it into my... Why? Because our grandparents do that, right? That's why sometimes we get frustrated with grandparents as parents, right? Because they will not discipline our kids and they ruin everything that we try to instill into our children. But that's a God of our own imagination. Right? We distort God, and guess what? That is not God. That is not God. That is a God of our own imagination. It's in our head, but that's not the God, true God, as described in the Bible. Let me give you one more reason. And that is, idolatry is wrong because idolatry leads to self-worship. Self-worship. What is the point of really all the commandments? Commandments 1 through 10. You know, you can contract it down to one sentence, right? Two phrases, that's it. All 10 commandments. Love God, love people. That's it. Love God, love people. If you do that, then your 10 commandments are fulfilled. So that's what really is, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving others as you love yourself. But see, idolatry, as in you're making an image and you're picking and choosing which part of God that you want to love, what you're really doing is, God, I understand that you're a big God and there are many aspects to you, but I'm going to pick and choose the parts that I like and I'm going to love you for only those things. I'm not going to love you. I'm not going to accept you in the parts that I don't agree with about, that I don't feel good about, that just hits me in the wrong way, right? But I'm only going to love you in the parts that I happen to like. That's an idol, right? You're making God into your own image by putting together the bits and pieces that you like about God. I think Sarah Michelle Gellar said something like that, you know, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer back in the days, you know, long time ago, you know, she said something like, yeah, you know, I believe all religions have some kind of truth. And she said, you know, I got something from Buddhism, Christianity, and you know, even Islam, and I make up my own God. Of course she will like her God, but it's a tiny itty-bitty God that she can fit in her pocket, that can never say no to her. That's idolatry. We reduce, we distort, and really, we are worshiping our own selves. If you are to love a person, and of course to love a God, the God, you either love all of him or none of him at all. You have no choice. Partial love is not love, is it, folks? Next Tuesday, Veterans Day, marks the 10th anniversary of my proposing to Janet for marriage. So next year we are celebrating our 10th anniversary. Imagine if I said to Janet when I proposed to her 10 years ago, you know, I really like the fact that you are a teacher and you have steady income and that you like kids. I like kids too. So I like those parts about you. But this past that you have just told me about, that I know about, that I don't like. So, honey, will you marry me? Because I want to marry you for those good things that I agree with, that I like. But I don't want to accept you for the past, the things that I don't like. So I'm going to love you for those good things, but I'm not going to love you for those bad things. So I'm going to just focus on the good things, okay? So will you accept me in that condition? What do you think my wife would say? Sure, you know, part of me is better than none of me. You think? No! She would say, no! It's going to be the all of me or none of me, right? With all my flaws, all my past, all my whatever, right? Conditions. Either accept all of that or you don't love me at all. Right? What am I really saying if I told her, right? If I asked her, hey, I just want to love these things that I like, but I don't want to love these other things. And so change, what am I really saying? What I'm saying is that you meet my needs. You are there for me. I'm marrying you for me. I love you because you meet my conditions, you meet my needs. It's not about you. I don't love you, I love myself. And you happen to be there to meet my needs. That's really what I'm saying, it's self-love. That's exactly what idolatry is. I like this, and that part about God, but I don't like this, and that, and that, and so I'm just going to accept this, and you make an idol out of those things. What you're really saying is, I worship me. It's self-love. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work in human relationship. It certainly does not work in a relationship between God and us. Romans 1:25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. That's a problem, isn't it? Idol is a creature. It's a god of our own imagination. We have created this god. We have reduced him. We have distorted him. And we worship that. That's not true God. That's not the God of the Bible. And so you see that how second commandment, breaking the second commandment, is also breaking the first commandment because we are worshiping a wrong God. So here's the difference between first commandment and second commandment. It will become very clear. First law, first commandment, God is saying, love only me. Second commandment, God is saying, love all of me. Love only me, first commandment. Second commandment, love all of me, not just part of me. First commandment, I am irreplaceable. I want an exclusive relationship with you, just you and me. Number two, I am irreducible. You cannot reduce me down to your size. I must be worshipped in all my glory and honor. Application. Closer an object is to the image of God, the creator tendency is to make an idol out of it. And what is the closest to the image of God? People. Right? People. Human beings are made in the image of God. And so, thus, have the creator's tendency to be worshipped. So, we worship our children. We worship our family. Oh, we didn't mean to, of course. You might have even told yourself, when my baby is born, I'm not going to worship that baby. I'm not going to worship. I know all other parents do. I'm not going to. And then we fall in love with that baby, and we would do anything and everything for that baby. And that's one way we know that we are worshiping something, and that is we sacrifice everything else for it. Right? Remember? Our God demands worship. And it doesn't matter if it's a child. It doesn't matter if it's a husband. We sacrifice everything and anything for this person who is our God or who is our idol. And when we do that, what happens? Last week we said that we end up destroying it. We end up destroying the very God that we have created in us. I can't tell you how many parents idolize their children, putting all their hopes and dreams on them and putting impossible demands on them to be their God. And what do? They crack under pressure, our kids. Right? Of course they will. Because what are we telling them? We may not say it, right? But our expectations and our prayers even, we're telling them, make me happy, bring me joy, fulfill my life, give me satisfaction. You exist for me. And our kids look at us and go, Mama, Dada, I can't. I'm not God. So we make a God out of our children, our family, our spouse. Another popular idol is a spiritual leader, such as a pastor. Right? Rather than listening to God and following Him, they follow a pastor. Just recently, a megachurch pastor resigned after being embroiled in a controversy, I'm sure you know, which I'm speaking of. With his resignation, many of his church campuses had decided to close it down because people are not showing up anymore. That makes you wonder, doesn't it? Why were those people going to church in the first place? Were they going for Jesus or were they going for the pastor? If they were going for Jesus, just because a pastor resigned should not have resulted in all those campuses closing down. Shouldn't actually the church have grown because they want to huddle together all the more now that they're going through a crisis? But people just jumped ship, which tells me that they weren't really following Jesus. They're following their pastor. Cannot be that. Do not follow me or Pastor Eldie because it will utterly disappoint you. As gods, we will utterly disappoint you as gods. We are simply signposts. We point you to Jesus, who is the object of our love. What shapes and forms your idea of God? Does it come from the inside, within yourself, your desires, or does it come from the outside? Where does your God come from? Your image of God, your idea of God. Is it what you want God to be from the inside, or is it the God as He is revealed from the Bible? Do you want a small God that fits in your back pocket that you can control, that you can whip out every time you need Him? Or do you want a God that is so big, that is so much bigger than your own problems, so even though you face a difficult problem that you don't have no idea how to handle, you know that there's a God even bigger than that? I'd much rather have that kind of God that's bigger than all of me and all of anything that I can imagine. I like that kind of God. Let me go to the third point. How can we keep it? Okay, how can we keep the second commandment then? If you are not to reduce Him, distort Him, or go into self-worship with Him, how do we keep the second commandment? We keep the second commandment by worshiping the right image. You keep the second commandment by worshiping the right... What? I thought you said no image, right? No representation of God. You're not supposed to worship any kind of image of God because no representation can be accurate. And no representation can display all of the glory of God. But you're saying now that we are supposed to worship the right representation or right image? Yes, I am. There's only one that was a perfect representation of God. And not only was He a representation or an image of God, He was God Himself. And His name is Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:15 and 19, it says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And 19, for in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The only image of God that we could worship rightfully, because He is a perfect image of God. And not only was He an image of God, He was God. He is God. In the book of John, Jesus says the most stunning thing to a Jewish man who grew up all his life believing that worshiping an image of God is sinful to the nth degree. I mean, they've been burnt by idolatry, these Jewish people. I mean, their land has been stolen from them or taken from them, and their government was in a pitiful condition because of the sin of idolatry. And so, Jesus, confronting a man named Philip, one of the disciples, this is what Jesus says to him, a stunning thing. Jesus says in John 14, 9, "Have I been with you, Philip, so long that you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father?" The night before Jesus was to be captured, he takes this zealot, Jewish person, who believes the worst sin is the sin of idolatry, right? The worshiping an image of God. Jesus looks him right in the eye and says, "I am the image of God. Right? You should worship me. Because if you have seen me, you have seen the Father." I mean, he's equating himself with God the Father. If it weren't true, you know what Philip could have done on the spot? He could have picked up a knife, he could have picked up a stone, he could have picked up anything that was laying around him and just smacked him on the side of the head and just smash his brain in, and then tell everyone about it, and they will make a hero out of him. Because he was a blasphemer, obviously, making himself equal with God. Being a carpenter's son, being a mere man, made himself equal with God by saying, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Philip could have done that, could have killed Jesus on the spot, and he would have been the hero. Because that's what all the Jewish people believed. If what Jesus was saying was nonsense, but if what he said was true, right? Philip should have been scared out of his wits. Why? Because he is coming face to face with the Almighty, Sovereign, Jehovah, Yahweh, God. Even Moses could not see his face and live. And here was Philip looking directly into the eyes of God, face to face. If what he claimed was true, that he truly was God and is God. This Jesus was revealed to the world. He is the very image of the invisible God. And we don't merely worship God through him, but we worship him as God. And that is how Jesus is different from all the other religious leaders, right? Muhammad never claimed to be God. He said, "I'll lead you to God, follow my teachings." But Jesus said, "Not only will I lead you to God, I'm going to lead you to myself because I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will lead you to myself because I am God." That's the difference. Buddha never claimed to be God. "You follow my ways and you will reach this enlightenment." Jesus, "No, I am the enlightenment. Right? I am the God that you should worship. Come to me." He didn't say, "Follow my ways." He said, "No, come to me. And you shall know the truth." And that truth is a God himself. So how do we keep the second commandment and not localize God or distort God or have it be led to self-worship? Get to know this Jesus. Worship him in all his ways, right? Don't worship Jesus that you like. "Oh, I liked him, you know, when he called little children and they're jumping up and down on his lap, and I like that part about Jesus." But there's that part about Jesus where he took a whip and went to the temple and then just drove out all the money changers, right? Saying harsh things. Well, you got to love that about Jesus too if you are going to worship him in all his ways. But how do we do that when Jesus is not physically with us? How do we worship him in all his ways, right? In all of his aspects and glory and honor? What is it, guys? How do we worship him? The Word. The Word of God. The Word of God. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the video." Does it? "In the beginning was a YouTube." Does it? "In the beginning was the pictures." No, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and Word was God." Right? And Romans 10:17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ." Listen, people, there is a reason why we make you sit here at our church for 40 minutes, 35 minutes every week, week in and week out, and have you listen to the Word of God being preached. It's not because we don't know how to use the technology on video. You know, there's a reason why we don't make you sit around and then share your ideas about what you think about God and who you think God is. Right? There's a reason why we do that. Because the image of God, which is Jesus Christ, is best described in the Word of God. And that's why we are faithfully preaching you the Word of God, and that's why we emphasize it day in and day out. And that's what we're trying to be faithful to. Have you met this Jesus through the preached and the written Word of God? You know, I hope there'll come a day, if you're a newborn, you know, believer or a not yet mature believer, then we understand that you find Bible boring and you'd rather listen to good preaching, you know, because it's more engaging. But if you've been a believer for, I don't know, 10, 20 years, and you rather listen to a preacher preach rather than read the Bible, you find so much more from a preacher than the Bible, there's probably something wrong. You know? Yeah, you know, when you're 2 months old, you get fed. Your parents have to feed you, but you're 15 years old and your parents are still spoon-feeding you? There's something wrong. You know? You should be able to feed yourself. Worship Him as He is described in the Word of God. Love Him through reading, meditating, studying, so that you may keep the second commandment. Let's pray.